In the last few recent years, the world has become a seemingly volatile political landscape. Countries large and small have become inextricably linked by way of numerous economic and political factors. Is this a result of duly elected officials simply acting in the best interests of their own sovereign nation states? Or is it the prelude to a reshaping of the global politiscape in accordance with some shadowy agenda of one or more mysterious groups of select powerful people? On the 29th of May, 1954, a very select group of individuals met at an undiscerning hotel in the Netherlands. This group was made up of persons who wielded significant influence within the spheres of political and economic power. These men stated that their purpose was to come together in order to discuss issues of global importance without having to adhere to the protocols they followed as official representatives of their home countries. At this meeting, they were to leave the trappings and responsibilities they had as statesmen and simply discuss issues as interested parties. No policies or declarations were to be set at this meeting, but it cannot be said whether the discussions had at this hotel have shaped international policy and alliances throughout the decade. This by invitation only group has met every year since then, a shifting list of attendees that includes captains of industry, political strategists, and leaders in technology. No press are allowed inside. No detailed hours of the meetings are kept. Only broad lists of topics to be discussed are put out to the public. Are these powerful individuals shaping the world behind the scenes, pulling strings of the world economy to their own benefit? Or are they struggling to create a future one-world government? This case file, a theorist delve into the Bilderberg Group.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 68. The Bill Goldberger Committee.
Yeah, gonna spear you right to the mat. Boom.
You're next. Finally, we take a case file and we talk about my favorite subject, wrestling, and it's all about Bill Goldberger. That's what the guy sent me. I don't know what the Bill Goldberger Committee is, but I think it has something to do with some wrestling committee. It's weird that I don't know about it.
We all know how Braden reads, so the memo he got. Obviously, he botched it. So,
what?
He has some sort of WWE dyslexia. We're not sure. We're getting him treated for it. We're going to take him to a special facility for that.
Bill Goldberger.
2018, right? That's what you're reading?
Yeah.
It's the Bilderberger. Like, you're going to custom burgers for bargain prices.
Wait, you got Bill? Oh, you got Bilderberger? I just got Bilderberg.
Ah, that makes more sense.
Damn it. I was so excited, and now I'm disappointed. Now that I'm reading this more carefully. Anyways, how could I be disappointed when we're... Let's just roll right into some space news to create a diversion.
Ha-ha, don't look over here. No. Don't look at that.
First off, some space news. Mr. Conspiracy... is gone. He is overseas. He is currently in Southeast Asia.
He left?
He left. He quietly left. I talked to him the day before he left, and he was nonchalant. He was like, well, see you in a year. And I said, all right. You didn't keep in touch. He goes, eh. Anyways, if you want to, I do have a secret way to get a hold of Mr. Conspiracy. So if you are in Thailand or Vietnam or New Zealand or Australia, and you want to meet Mr. Conspiracy Alley as he rolls through, I know some people have already contacted me. He's actually a really good time. As much as we like to make fun of him, he's a good friend of ours. And he loves to party. So if you want to meet Mr. Conspiracy and you're in these areas, let us know. And I'll try to connect you with Mr. Conspiracy himself. For some real space news. The first real flying car is open for test flights. So they had Damn. a flying car, and it's called the what's it called? I can't remember it. Kitty Hawk? I don't know. Larry Page's flying car project, and it recently completed a test flight. And the good news is, they trained a CNN reporter in half an hour to pilot this flying car safely. So
it's doable for anybody.
It's doable for anyone.
I don't know. It's a CNN reporter. Those guys are pretty smart, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Smarter than us. You know what? You trained Mr. Conspiracy to fly this car in 30 minutes.
Then we'll talk.
Yeah. And then you got to talk. The future is nigh. Dude, I would love to fly
a car. In 2018, we finally have flying cars. I mean, I was assured by cartoons that we would have flying cars by like 1990s, but, you know, it's almost 20 years overdue, but whatever.
Now, what kind of flying car is this? Is it like a helicopter style, like rotate?
It's kind of like helicopter style. It's got like 10 little fucking... It's kind of looks like a quadricopter kind of, but all the blades are like on like airplane wings.
Okay, cool. Hmm.
He only flew the thing for 10 minutes. So it's like, how hard is it to learn how to fly something for 10 minutes and not fuck it up?
I think you'd be surprised. Really? See people try and get in these. What are those little fucking two-wheel self-balancing skateboards?
Oh, yeah.
You think those would be easy? And fuck, you see some crashes on those babies.
Oh, man. I hurt my
back. I still want that hoverboard and the Nikes.
The what?
From Back to the Future. From Back to the Future.
The auto laces. Nikes.
Yeah.
The auto laces, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I want those.
That's laziness to a new level.
Super sweet, Dan.
All right. This one boggles my mind. Researchers at MIT create a psychopathic AI.
Oh, shit.
MIT researchers at MIT decided to follow through on a particularly bad idea by creating an AI that is purposefully psychotic. The AI is named Norman, after Norman Bates from Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Great.
Good.
They did it to prove that AI itself isn't inherently bad and evil, more so that AI can be bad if fed bad and evil data. So they went to the darkest corners of Reddit and
those are pretty dark corners.
And just fed it data from gruesome deaths and stuff like that. And now this thing's a psychopath.
Psychopath. What's a psychopath?
But apparently they're going to work on now that they've made it a psychopath and evil, they're going to start trying to see if they can sway it to be good by
this sounds like a fucking murder movie right here.
Yeah.
By feeding it into
their flowers and butterflies. And,
wholesome memes and pictures of puppies and dogs recovering from spinal surgery.
Yeah, it's crazy. It did one of those Rorschach tests. Yes. And it's like a regular AI. It's like shows this ink plot. And it's like a close up phase with flowers. Fucking Norman, the psychopathic AI, is like a man shot dead. Regular AI, next slide. Regular AI is like a black and white photo of a very small bird. Fucking Norman. Man gets pulled through dough machine. That's terrible.
These are basic, 17-year-old American teenagers, really. It's just an angsty teen.
Slide three.
Angsty emo teen. Maybe he's not psychopath. Maybe he's just emo.
Regular AI on slide three. A person holding an umbrella in the air. Norman. Man shot dead in front of his screaming wife.
What?
Wow.
Jesus.
Oh,
God, that's terrible.
Oh, man.
That's so weird. This one. Regular AI. A close-up of a wedding cake on a table. Norman? Man killed by a speeding driver. Oh, fucking Norman's crazy.
That's great. That sounds like this is how fucking AI goes rogue.
This is going well. This is going well.
They teach one AI how to be a psychopath. That's the start of the whole is a snowball, and then the whole world's in fucking chaos. That's what's gonna happen.
Kill all humans, baby. Yeah. Hey, baby, want to kill all humans?
Oh, despite recent success, SpaceX unfortunately announces delays to its space tourism program.
Damn.
Zell, you're gonna have to wait a while.
Put back a date. So they pushed the delay to mid 2019 to the absolute earliest. It was supposed to be at the end of this year, but it's been pushed. Luckily, only a year, but I imagine that'll get pushed because they haven't even really brought tourists into space at all. So we'll see what happens. Mid 2019, maybe we'll buy tickets. We'll be those on that first flight.
Yeah.
We probably got a couple hundred thousand to spare, right, guys?
Yeah, no problem.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
As we're going to be drinking Bud Lights all weekend.
I'm not drinking a single Bud Light, tell you that much.
Tell you what, I am. They got those.
Oh,
awesome.
We only drink Miller High Life because, you know.
Living that high life. Oh, this is great. This is a great headline. Theorists theorize that Planet 9 might actually be a cluster of little rocks.
Nice.
So the mysterious Planet 9 that's really dark, and they're not sure what it is. And it's got a misaligned orbit, and a bunch of other kind of weird stuff. They think it might just be a collection of little rocks, little meteors. It's just fooling our eyes.
Cool.
That's it. That's all I got for space news.
We got one more big space news.
What's that?
NASA finds ancient organic material and mysterious methane.
Right. I forgot about that.
On Mars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we've talked about it before, that they had methane on Mars. They weren't really sure. And now they've pretty much found that there is carbon in the same form that they would find that would be able to sustain life, or that would potentially start life.
Oh, buddy. It's only a matter of time. I guarantee you, The first people that land on Mars and are walking around researching, we get word back. They found organic material. They found bacteria.
The thing is, it only took like if they find this, and because they obtained the sample through like a small little drill, hole. Yeah, that's all they got it from. But it's like, yeah, if you send people there, like what if they find fossils and things?
Oh, you know. What if they awake the ghost of Mars?
The little Mars rover wouldn't be able to find that stuff. Like, it wouldn't be able to you wouldn't see that stuff just popping up everywhere. But, you know, if you get people there, enough people there, heck, you might find fossils and might find that there is actually life there either before or at the same time that the Earth was supporting life. Could happen.
Yeah, that's pretty much saying that it could have been habitable at one time and maybe, like, potentially still could be by like organisms that produce methane, because now they found that it's seasonal methane release.
Huh?
So kind of like on Earth, like in summer months, more methane release.
Just like
me. Yes, just like Drayton.
Yours is week. Yours is daily.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. Seasonal methane releases, carbon that could have supported life. So they're always doing little baby steps. Right, they can't make too many claims, but I wouldn't be surprised if Mars was inhabited, like, who knows how long ago, but pretty cool. Pretty fucking cool. That's all I had.
So that's something for space news.
That's it for space news? No one else?
That's a good space news.
It's pretty good.
That's all I got. No, that's all for space news.
Well, we have to say that the Randomatron X2, that was it. It's over.
I'm retired.
It's burnt out. Fell apart.
Yeah, we buried it with full honors.
Yeah, full salute, flag ceremony. And we just shot it with shotguns, destroyed it.
Yeah,
got her.
She gone.
Gone.
She gone.
As you may have heard of, we are going to do a little new case file of the week, and we're going to call it the Bigfoot Sighting of the Week.
They're going to call it Cryptid Sighting of the Week.
Cryptid Sighting of the Week. That's right. Cryptid Sighting of the Week.
Because not everybody sees Bigfoot every week, but
No, yeah. But there's cryptids. I think today we have two for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, it's a Class A report, number 51821, submitted by witness on Tuesday, April 26, 2016. Family has multiple sightings and interactions in their backyard near Eglin. This is in Eglin, Lee County, Texas. Incident began with rocks being chucked at my daughter, myself, and my brother after returning from visiting my dad in the hospital. We stopped to report his condition to my brother. We were very loud, laughing and talking. What? Your dad was in the hospital. You're reporting his condition and you're very loud, laughing and talking. And a rock chucked from out in the yard in the trees. At the time, no homes nearby as we live in rural area. 2 weeks before, my dad was putting his trash in the can and happened to feel someone watching him. And he looked up to see a moonlight. To see in the moonlight. This person can't write. I promise it's not my reading.
Are you sure?
I looked up to see in the moonlight a full moon. Dead on, straight away, about 20 feet from him, a tall, 8-foot brownish figure looking at him. They stared at each other for a long moment. And my dad tossed his trash out. Looked up, and it was gone. My dad doesn't believe in Bigfoot, but my brother is disabled and sits up outside on the patio every night. He had heard whoops, stick fighting, growling, and saw figures at the fence line. I decided to try interacting with whatever it was, so I began wrapping sandwiches, cookies, veggies, meat, and eggs. Is he fucking Santa? Every day I made a lunch, which I wrapped in bread wrapper and placed in a plastic grocery bag and hung in a tree branch where we heard noises. Every day the food was gone. No shit, the food was gone. Once it left me 5 potatoes from the neighbor's garden above us. I would leave a dozen raw eggs or boiled. And they tap the end of the eggs and suck the middle. They did not eat the celery, carrots, or spicy crackers, but loved tortillas, breads, cakes, all meat and peanuts, peanut butter and nuts. I fed for almost a year and smelled them many, many times. We heard a sweet growl several times.
Ooh, what is a sweet growl?
Once my brother saw its backside walking to a tree, it chucked some rocks at me as I was at the far end of the pasture. Each toss, the rock became closer. My brother said, "Come back before it hits you." I began walking back, and he pointed where it was beside a tree, and I saw the side of it, about 8 feet tall, grayish, brownish, like tree bark. I began calling it, "Trudy! Hey, Trudy!"
That's the first name that comes to mind.
When feeding it, sometimes it would let me know it was there. And if it was, all was totally silent, nothing moving. So if it was there, you couldn't see it or hear it.
Nope.
When coyotes would be howling nearby, it would let out a shrill scream and the woods became silent. I sat many evenings beside the gift tree and it never heard me. Never attempted to hurt me. Actually, would give a low growl. Once I left a pink cup to see what it would do, and it tossed it into the ditch. I hung a tiny angel Christmas ornament, and they removed it, and I never found it. One evening, my husband drove up, and they tossed rocks at his truck. We mounted a game cam, but never had any pics, except for myself feeding. Many pics of orbs. My brother said he thinks by voices and calls, there was a male, female, and young ones. I know for a fact they are harmless and very caring. Two new homes moved into the area, and they have now left us. I miss them and still go down to the pasture, hoping they will throw a rock at me.
Man.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how that works.
So consensus?
What was if you're it? Gonna post, you put up one game, like one game cam, like, come on, man.
Listen, if you go in the woods, if I walk right now out of my house and go into the rural woods and put some food, guess what? That food's getting eaten.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Every day.
Forever.
Every day.
Forever. It's funny.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard about that thing, the gifting thing that some people do that with the
Bigfoot. And I yelled, Trudy.
Just like,
hey,
yeah.
Trudy.
How does Trudy become the first thing you're going to say? Like,
so is Trudy what they named it?
I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you hear about people leaving like tokens for Bigfoot, apples and shit.
Man. Giving them stuff. And
bears also love apples.
Yeah.
So does deer and every other
deer.
Animal.
Fucking deer love apples.
Yeah.
Well. It's insane. It's not insane. I mean, it'd be better if they would have taken some photos. Like if you were just.
Give me at least a blurry photo. Give me something.
Yeah.
Just a little something.
I feel like those people, like, you aren't trying hard enough. Like you know, you're going to tell someone this story. And I don't know if I can take you that seriously if you, like, you didn't try your hardest. Like, oh, we mounted one game cam. Did you not think to maybe call, like, a wildlife photographer? Look, man, like, we're going to get some stuff. Like, just come hang out here for a minute and do your wildlife photography thing. Just set up a blind and take photos. Like, you know, it's hard to believe somebody who doesn't make the maximum effort to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get a picture of a Bigfoot.
No, but there's some really good Bigfoot encounters. Some like pretty like, yeah. They seem, you know, pretty convincing. That one maybe not as much, but always fun. They're still fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. That's our cryptid from the land. I've got our cryptids from the sea covered today.
Yeah.
Right? The corpse of a mysterious sea creature washed ashore in Namibia last week. Scientists found the decomposed body of a sea creature on the Namibian shores. I'll probably tweet out this picture later so people can see it. But if you look at it, it's they say mysterious sea creature, but when you look at it, it's like that definitely looks like a dolphin. It was about 20 feet long, though, so it wasn't small. It washed up on shore, and scientists are pretty sure it's just the decomposed body of what they thought, which is actually pretty neat. Also, it's a Cuvier's beaked whale, which actually haven't been seen around Namibia since the early 2000s.
Oh, cool.
So these things are pretty neat. These things are actually one of the deepest divers, and they plunge to depths of about 3,300 feet or about 1,000 meters. So that's pretty neat if they have found one of those around. But yeah, I'll post one of those pictures, and it looks pretty funky. But if you look at it pretty closely, you're like, that looks like just a really big dolphin.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, pretty weird.
Weird stuff comes out of the ocean all the time.
All the time. It's insane.
That's why I don't like to go in there. I'll go to the beach. That's fine. But I won't. I don't want to go in the water.
Hey, I love scuba diving. Because you're down there and you can see around you. I don't like to swimming on top.
I'm still thoroughly. Out. I like scuba diving. No, I'm still. I've been scuba diving, but I'm still always a little bit disconcerted when I go under the water and like I. It just it fucking creeps me out. The creature from the Black Lagoon, like that movie, like scenes from that movie still creep me out. It's like all this crap,
so
but I'm like
cheesy.
Still. That's when a piece of seaweed touches my leg. Under the water, whether it's in a lake or in the ocean, I flip right the fuck out.
That is a terrifying feeling, though. Especially if it gets wrapped around your foot a little bit. Feel like you're getting pulled down.
That's my worst fear.
All right.
No.
So it just happened. The Bilderberg meeting 2018.
Yeah, just finished June 11th.
June 11th. And as with any secret meeting that no one knows anything about, spawns countless theories. Dan, you want to give a history of the Bilderberg meeting?
Sure, I'll give you a quick overview as you know.
Dan knows.
As condensed as I can.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Bilderberg group has pretty much been in formation since its first meeting in 1954. Now, before that, It was kind of the way it came about into existence is the Bilderberg Group was kind of the brainchild of mostly European elite during the 1950s. At that time, America was kind of going through the post-World War II, going into the Cold War, a mindset where they were becoming more isolationist, and the elite Europeans at the time, or the European, you know, higher ups were afraid that if the United States went into this back into its isolationist things, like isolationist mindset, like before World War II, like post World War I, that you would just face another threat of something like the Soviet Union coming on, like Germany did. So the Bilderberg Group was kind of a way of there were a couple other movements at the time. There's like the European movement and things like this. They were kind of advocating a unification of Europe so that they would be at least stronger than they were. I mean, you didn't want like when in World War II, like the Germans kind of picked off Europe like a piece at a time. It wasn't like they took over everything all at once. It was kind of like, you know, they invaded a little bit. You take a little piece here, a little piece here. Whereas if you were a European Union, you'd have a better chance of standing against an entire national threat. The guy who kind of put things in motion, who started doing it, his name was Joseph Redinger, and this guy was kind of a really interesting guy. Most of the stuff about him is like you'll find that he is a he was a high office. He held a high office in like a London-based like Polish government in exile during World War II, and he also ran a parachute mission behind German lines when he worked with the British Secret Service, the Special Operations Executive, the SOE. So this guy was pretty – before they even formed it, he was already kind of had all the connections during World War II and after. He had a lot of connections within all of the intelligence community in Europe and some overseas with the U.S. By about 1952, Redinger had kind of shifted from thinking about a European Union to wanting an actual Atlantic alliance. So he was thinking that Europe needed to cement its relationship with the West, with the United States, therefore making it them, you know, a harder target on the international stage. They had a lot of growing concerns at that time about the spread of communism or the Russian communism, basically, which wasn't really communism. It's still fascism, but whatever. And to accomplish this goal, he collaborated with one of his friends named Paul Rykens, and also another guy who's pretty important who comes up a couple times, which is Prince Bernhard, who is he was the prince consort to the Netherlands. And he also campaigned for the European Union. And he also had a lot of connections in the West as well, with some of them were with the early members that formed the CIA here in the United States. So these guys all kind of got together and they contacted a lot of European industrialists and those who were like the captains of business and things like that. And they were kind of putting this idea together, like, we need to have a relationship with the United States to keep things in check here in Europe. Now, when they initially put forward their idea for wasn't called the Bilderberg Group at the time, when they kind of put forth this idea, the United States at first didn't really want any part of it. They didn't really want to go into it. It actually took a while. It took a year or two for them to actually get people who were in the United States who were actually interested in it. They had to talk to a number of people, and they had Prince Bernhard and Redinger had to make a lot of contacts with the U.S. and kind of push them for this actual meeting to take place. They kind of put forth the idea that They wanted people from the United States to come over to Europe, and they would have a meeting where everybody could kind of sit down and without any sort of, like, you would come as not as a representative of your country, but just as people. Like, you'd have just guys just sit down and discuss international issues without discussing international policy. So no policies or anything would be made. We just all kind of want to sit down and talk about the issues that affect the global environment and things like that, movements and economics of the world, without having the pressures of being a representative of your country. So nothing, when they put forth this idea at first, the president at the time, Dwight D. Eisenhower, was not really hot on the idea, didn't really think it was something that needed to be important. Prince Bernhard had to get in touch with one of his old acquaintances who is named C.D. Jackson, who didn't really want to deal with it either. And then he kind of passed it off to what eventually he was the chairman of the Committee for National Trade Policy, was the Detroit industrialist John S. Coleman. And Coleman took it up actually with a type of fervor and said that, you know, this is probably a pretty good idea that we should probably do this. So, I mean, you can see this kind of popped up from, you know, politicians at first didn't really want anything to do it, but industrialists perhaps recognized that this was the way to go. When eventually they did have their meeting in May of 1954, the Americans sent over about 20 people. And besides C.D. Jackson and Irving Brown, who is for the American Federation of Labor's representative in Europe, and he also was the controller of the CIA monies to a lot of anti-communist European trade unionists, you had other people like David Rockefeller of the Chase National Bank. And you had a couple other people who showed up to the actual meeting, that thing. And this kind of, they kind of laid down a lot of the rules there of the actual meeting, where this is a quote from Alden Hatch, who was Prince Bernhard's official biographer. And he says, "There was absolutely no publicity. The hotel was ringed by security guards so that not a single journalist got within a mile of the place. The participants were pledged not to repeat publicly what was said in the discussion. Every person present, prime ministers, foreign ministers, leaders of political parties, heads of great banks and industrial companies, and representatives of such international organizations as the European Coal and Steel Community, as well as academicians, was magically stripped of his office as he entered the door and became a simple citizen of his country for the duration of the conference." So that was the first meeting. That's what happened, 1954.
That was a
and you had all these guys get together just to talk politics without being politicians, I guess you could say.
So it's really just a group of the world's most elite business owners, financiers, CEOs,
politicians, yeah,
all together in one room with no prying eyes, no minutes taken, no notes, no votes cast. What could go wrong?
Sworn not to
say anything about anything. Well, they can talk about what was talked about, but they cannot name any names of who said what.
Right. Since its beginning, I believe they've published out the agendas. They usually put out the agendas of what they're going to talk about publicly, but they never record hours. They don't record hours. They don't record what was actually said at the meetings. They just kind of put out like a general.
I have the list of the general agenda for the 2018 one.
Yeah, they always put it out like immediately after it took place, pretty much.
Yeah. So number one on the agenda that moved to the top was populism in Europe. They're talking about the growing population, the inequality challenge. Number three, the future of work. Number four, artificial intelligence. Number five, the U.S. before midterms. Number six, free trade. Number seven, U.S. world leadership. Eight, Russia. Nine, quantum computing. Number 10, Saudi Arabia and Iran. 11, the post-truth world and current events. What the fuck is the post-truth world?
That's the new post-truth where it's like, that's kind of the thing. I think it's kind of been popularized. The term's been popularized after kind of, I would say, I almost want to say it's single-handedly been pushed forward by just Trump's taking of the Oval Office, where it's kind of like, there's no truth anymore. A truth is pretty much everything's relative. So he can say whatever he wants. You know, when he says like, oh, it's fake news or whatever, and then people won't believe anything anymore. There is no real truth. It's all kind of relative.
Well, people trust the president so much, or like maybe half the population does, that if he's saying this is fake news and that's fake news, they are like, without even checking for themselves, we'll just think it's fake news.
Yeah, with total disregard for factual information or like facts or anything like that, people will believe just about anything as long as the certain person says it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And then number three, the future of work. They're also referring to it as they're actually talking about some called the precariat, which is like a new term for like a social class. And it's summarized as the perpetual part-timers, the minimum wagers, the temporary foreign workers, the gray market, domestics paid in cash, the techno-impoverished whose piecemeal work has no office and no end, the seniors who struggle with dwindling benefits, the indigenous people who are kept outside, single mothers without support, cash laborers with no savings, and the generation for whom a pension in retirement is neither available nor desired, which is pretty much the growing class in the Western world, because the wealth gap is getting so great,
yeah,
that most people won't be able ever to afford to retire or buy a house or like really live past paycheck to paycheck. So I bet you they're going to be discussing like some type of universal basic income.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plays a little bit into the conspiracy side big time. I don't know if we want to go down that way quite yet, but yeah, it's crazy that just a group of the world's most elite get together and just talk about whatever they want.
Yeah. And all of these people, you could, a couple of academics have kind of put the people who participate in the Bilderberg group, they're part of what, like you said, the precariat is like the new type of social class. These guys are all part of the what they call the transnational capitalist class. And those people who are in the Bilderberg, like these captains of industry, technology, the transnational capitalist class, they say there's actually four types of fractions, which are corporate, state, technical, and consumerist. So you got corporate, like obviously your corporations, you have state, like your politicians and things like that. You have technical, like people who are in charge, like the people who develop technologies and things like that. And you have your consumerist ones, who deal with kind of goods and businesses and things like that.
Right.
So, I mean, if you go through the attendees of these Bilderberg groups, you'll always find usually there's like a good balance. Well, there used to be anyways. Now, if you look at the list of attendees who come in here, you can see that a lot now it kind of tends towards the more people on the attendance list kind of lean towards the corporate side of the transnational capitalist class.
Yeah, it's like, so in these meetings, so there's people who are invited on a yearly basis. You might not be invited every year. You might only be invited once. But then there's a group of like elected or voted, I'm not sure how they get in, but it's called the steering committee. And they sign for renewable terms of 4 years. And if you go down the list of like the people in the steering committee, the guys who like control the meetings and who's invited and what they talk about, then you start to see like chairman Goldman Sachs, like all these fucking CEOs of big companies, Chrysler, like all the all huge corporations. So then this goes down the theory side of like one of the theories of the Bilderberg group, like the main theory is it's the new world order, right? It's a group highly elite businessmen, politicians, all colluding together to direct the world in a way which they see, which best fits their interests, which is technically what they're doing, but they're doing it as corporations to make money.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like, you can't really even argue that's what they're doing. They're not in there saying how, like, we're going to give all this money to the poor people. They're in there like, all right, how can we stretch out our resources just enough so people stay just above the poverty line, but still low to keep them from, like, questioning, like, elite power. That's pretty much the conspiracy of this group of secretive people.
I mean, and multiple interviews with people who have been, like, sitting members of the Bilderberger Group, they've all been, most of them when asked, like, are you guys planning, like, if they ask them, like, up front, are you guys aiming towards a one world government? You know, most of the ones that have been sitting have said that it's not that they're aiming towards it, but they're in favor of it, because the fact that most of them, like, they don't want to be fighting each other. Like, most of them are to move forward in their plans or whatever it is, their goal is to have, it would be easier to have a one world government.
Yeah. And like, it definitely would be.
There's some, like, big names. Like, you can look up the list of Bilderberg participants. Like, just kind of pulling this up now. There's, like, huge of a who. Peter Mansbridge was there.
You got Peter Sutherland, who is he was from BP and Goldman Sachs, and he's also the head of the World Trade Organization, an EU commissioner, and a UN representative.
Bill Clinton went in 91, and then he was elected the next year. Tony Blair of UK went and then was elected. Obama attended and then he was elected. There's a lot of people who went and then became president.
Henry Kissinger was a regular attendee. He first went as they pretty much invited him first as an academic elite. But they said, and then he became a part of the U.S. political establishment. But now he actually is the chairman of an international consulting firm. And so now his main involvement, they say, is in business.
Paul Volcker, the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, went in 82, 83, 86, 87, 88, 92, 97, 2009, and 2010. Oh, chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, man, they're the leaders of all industries, really.
People thing. From Microsoft, Google, telecom. Like Airbus, Royal Dutch Shell, British Petroleum, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, Barclays, like all of those people usually have representatives there.
Dude, guaranteed the people who sign up for these, like, terms, I guarantee those terms are, like, it's probably very lucrative to be signed up for terms, because you meet all these hoo-hoos and it's like, how can, like, you help me? Like, how can I help you help me?
Oh, like they're positioning themselves for whatever they're going to do, whether it be, like, malicious or not, or just strictly they're just trying to make money. Like, they're like, it's their own interest. It's a fucking secret group. I mean,
they're definitely looking out for their own interests.
They don't take meeting minutes, and they swear an oath not to talk about it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, at the same time, I can see why you would want a meeting like that.
Go to a meeting where it's like, I don't have to go as a representative of my country. Like, but then again, it's like, you're only a representative of your own interests, and it's kind of, but that is kind of nice for them to kind of go into a meeting where there's no real restrictions, where it's, you can kind of just say what's on your mind without having to worry to be quoted or misquoted. You know, I mean, most of the, even from notes, like, people from recollections of, like, the first meeting, like, they said a lot of the discussions were heated, but at the end of the 4-day long meeting, like, people left better for it. Like, you're able to get everything out onto a that you want to say, and you don't have to worry about somebody taking it the wrong way. You're just like, I'm just saying what I'm going to say. It's on my mind. You know, I'm not here as a representative of the United States. I'm just saying this.
Yeah, I could, like, in a perfect world where all humans are very good and they want to help everyone, to have people of the highest minds of the world get together and talk about the future of the world is probably a good thing. But humans are easily corruptible, especially when you're super wealthy. And, like, when greed is, like, well, is that what you live for? So now you're going to this meeting, you're not a normal – like an average citizen. You are the top. I think
they have to pay. They have to like pay like a membership fee to be in the Bilderberg group.
They're not, and it's not like they have leaders in science in the medical fields, and you know what I mean. It's all politics. It's all business. Well,
they'll have like pharmaceutical company CEOs, but not actual psychology, scientists.
Philosophy.
Yeah, it's
if you had philosophy and like sociology guys there, they'd be there for like weeks.
Yeah.
I'm reading this thing. It says David Rockefeller is the American founder of the Bilderberg Group, and he has a lifetime membership, and he's the member. He's a permanent member of the Bilderberg Steering Committee.
Who's that?
Fucking crazy.
Who was that?
David Rockefeller.
He's dead.
Well, this is an old article.
But yeah, he was there for like. Obviously,
there at the beginning. I just said he was at the first meeting. David Rockefeller was the first meeting.
So if you go down, and, like if you take
the, but still, I think was it no? Isn't his grandson or his son still on there?
I'm sure. 100%. I'm sure the Rockefeller family just keeps going, right? But
it's like you got, you know, it's just this kind of they have the. It's so. It's kind of creepy. Yeah, it's super creepy to have all these global elites coming together in like a secret kind. It's almost like a secret. I mean, they say it's kind of like a secret cabal of people, and these guys get together every year. And most of the meetings of the Bilderberg Group are held in Europe. There's only been a couple there actually in the United States. I think one of the meetings was in Chantilly, Virginia, but then they had another one that was in Bohemian Grove.
Oh, that's weird. That was in Bohemian Grove.
That one was kind of weird.
Bohemian Grove is another crazy thing that has nothing to do with really the same thing. World leaders go there and take part in like a fucking 3-day occult ritual.
Well, that's what they said they saw. The guy who one of the reporter, his name was John Ronson. He was like a reporter from the UK, and he actually got in there to the actual Bilderberg meeting, and he said he saw them taking part in. Some people have seen the picture of them kind of doing a little, well, I mean, when you look at it, it looks absolutely sinister, and it's a bunch of men, all kind of all in there wearing these kind of ceremonial robes, and they're all kind of burning, what they're saying, they burn like this giant owl effigy. And, I mean, this John Ronson guy kind of reported that he said it looked sinister, but it actually wasn't that bad. He said it was just kind of like it was as harmless as like a school play. It's just a bunch of guys like fooling around, but
it's not, you know? At all, because it was super fucking weird. They're burning fucking Moloch and all these ancient effigies. Deities. Yeah
And you know, you get a bunch of these guys coming all together, and you know it. But it's just kind of how the world works when you have like a world that's based on like the kind of people pushing towards like a cap, the way the world economy has developed so far in like this capitalist kind of world, you just have this growing. I mean, it seems like it's inevitable. You have this growing income gap between rich and poor. Where you have like the top 3%, you have like 3% of the world's population hold, was it like 88% or 90% of the world's wealth?
I think it's way less than that. I think it's well under 1%.
Yeah. And so you have like a couple thousand people who hold all the world's wealth. Of course, they're going to have an enormous influence on how the world works.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my kind of question is like, is that 1% actually part of the Bilderberg group, or do they just like, they don't even care? They're so far above that. They're like, we don't even, it's like, what? You need like a whole, like there's like 40 of you there. There's like, no, why would we even go?
No, like I kind of agree with that too. Like if there is like a shadowy cabal that controls the world, it seems like the Bilderberg group is like humanity's effort to try and like combat what they're doing, but they don't even know. They probably don't even know what's happening above them. Like the world's governments.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to do something, maybe they're trying to do good, and then this never works. Is there's people who control just whole nations just with like one corporation, just with the amount of money they have.
I mean, a couple of things they've said, that they say the Bilderberg group definitely, they did not want Trump to become president. Like, that was one of the weird things I heard about it, was they definitely didn't want Trump to become president. Another one that sounded kind of funny, it was they had actually put together a plan to, or what it would look like, or they deemed it favorable if the United States, Mexico, and Canada all became one.
North American Union. Yeah, I remember my first kind of like run in with that theory was like that old Zeitgeist movie.
I love that movie.
I talked about that. You know what though, like there's just some weird fucking guys on the steering committee that, like, when you say like, oh, maybe this group was at the beginning meant for good, but like you go through the steering committee now and it's like, dude, it's so many just business chairmen, right? Like Peter Thiel's fucked up.
Thiel Capital, yeah, like a lot of fucking finance guys, right?
And money, yeah, like that guy bankrolled a lawsuit against Gawker to crush them because they like wrote a negative article about him.
I'm telling you, man, money corrupts. You got a lot of money,
dude. Like, did you ever watch that? You guys, okay, well,
no,
just because I'm a wrestling fan too. There's a interview, or there's a documentary on Netflix about the Hulk Hogan lawsuit. He sued Gawker for like $110 million. And then it was found out that the only reason he even sued them was because Peter Thiel was paying for covered the cost of the whole lawsuit. So he bankrolled the whole lawsuit and bankrupt Gawker because Gawker wrote a negative piece about him and he wasn't happy. And it was like, he was like upset and wanted vengeance on them. Like, that's so fucking petty for like a multi-billionaire to like bankroll someone else's lawsuit to crush a company that you don't like.
Sinister, man.
And now you're going to say that guy is going to these meetings with everyone's best interests?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure you could go through the list of these people and the companies that they work for and find dozens of like cases against them, negative cases, like stuff just like that. You probably go through every one of these companies.
Yeah. And my worry is that people have said that they've noticed the trend that it's now more like corporate representatives that are going to these meetings, and it's more moving towards corporations besides people who actually represent the interests of actual nation states. Like, they don't have a lot as many political people as they used to have, and now it's kind of moving towards that kind of that corporation side. So now these people who run all these multinational corporations, like, they have more say as in how the world's, you know, economy kind of moves forward. And what policies get set forth in these ones. So, I mean, that kind of worries me, if anything. Because, you know, corporations can kind of just move. If you're a representative of a country, you kind of have, like, a limit on, like, what your reach is. But, like, corporations can do just about anything, you know? And that's what worries me more, is that you have this, you know, we're going to have, like, the European Union sponsored by Coca-Cola or something. That's
what I'm always worried about. We're not far away. Really.
Yeah.
Like, those corporations they've gotten so big, and they always have to grow in the capitalist market. They always have to grow because mm-hmm. they have shareholders. So everything they do is for profit. They're not if they're doing like some, you know, some charity work, they're doing just enough charity work to get the tax deduction to the maximum cap, and then that's all they're doing.
And that's what a lot of people come in with the globalization as why it's a bad thing. It's like, these corporations, they don't care about like where they come from. They don't care about the exact nation states. Like, they don't care about if their factory in Missouri has like 5,000 jobs. If it's cheaper to shut down that factory and ship it overseas and do the production in China or somewhere where they have to pay the wages of like half of whatever they're paying, they'll do it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, so you kind of fall into that. So like, you have these people who are just, they're interested in making money more than than the happiness or like the well-being of their population. Like not one population, not even like I can't say that like a politician would be much better because they'd only be interested in the success of their nation state, whereas opposed corporations are just happy with, you know, are trying to make their shareholders happy. Mm-hmm. I don't really like either one. It's kind of like,
Yeah, we got to the point where just like corporations were unbridled for so long that they took so much, and now we're at a point now where they're so big. Like, what do you do now? Like, how do you like take back the wealth to like the people who work for these corporations? Because these corporations, like, most of them don't pay that well. Like, if you get to management, you make money, but if you're just like entry level or mid level, you're making like maybe you're making 40 grand a year, just enough to get by. Never be able to save for retirement like we're talking about. And then the manager above you is making 250, the manager above him is making 2 million, and the CEO is making 35 million. Like,
yeah. And most of these companies, like even those companies that are international, like it's a lot of it. I mean, a lot of people say like most of the companies that these big companies, it's like they do service, and it's like they don't even have to employ people from their country. It's like you can ship it over to India and just have them do all the most of like data entry or things like that. Like they can just do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay, well, so that's the Bilderberg group. Now let's go through the top theories. I've already kind of gone through a couple of them, but theory number one is that it's run by Nazis. Like they're trying to start the Fourth Reich after World War II. The Nazis party never actually dissolved. They realized that they'd been beat, so they went into hiding and kind of secretly infiltrated world governments and businesses to kind of climb back to the top and take it over from like a, instead of military terms, just like global, like almost just financial more than anything.
I could see that happening. I can see that.
And infiltrate.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite books are the Foundation series by Isaac Asimov. And it's basically about like how to preserve a collapsing empire. So if you had something like the Nazi regime that was collapsing, it was like, okay, so we know our country is going to collapse. So the best thing to do is to be like, send out like our best and brightest to like different parts. And if you can't dominate by military might, you're going to be back into a corner. If military doesn't work, then economics will work. So, I mean, the Nazis had plenty of economics. There's probably tons of Nazi gold, I want to say. Like, there was stuff moved around at that point. Like, probably a lot of stuff got lost at that point, and they could have probably put a bunch of stuff in those Swiss banks that are still in there. And, like, if you established your... I mean, the Nazis weren't dumb. They weren't stupid, or at least the people who were not. I mean, Hitler was kind of stupid, but you know, the people who were running the show, like they weren't dumb. Like they knew stuff. What they could see once, I think most of the brightest ones knew that once the United States got involved in World War II, they knew it was pretty much over.
Well, it's pretty much from the time that they couldn't take the Soviet Union. I think they probably realized, all right, we didn't take that. And then the U.S. came in. They're like, oh, it's like we got to find an exit strategy like right away, pretty much.
Right.
But yeah, that's the main theory. And we talked about like
so they're playing the long game now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we talked about the guy, Bernard, like one of the guys, founding guys.
Yeah.
He was proven to be a Nazi. I mean,
he was a member of the SS.
So I don't know. That's one theory. Also, David Rockefeller has been rumored to be funded by the Nazi eugenics program. Since he
died.
Yeah. Well, like he had the stake. Rockefeller had the stake in like modern pharmaceuticals. Talked about it before.
Well, they just want to live forever.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like four hearts?
Yeah, I think he had four or five transplants. But he's actually on record. David Rockefeller is actually on record saying something about depopulizing the world. I don't have that in front of me, but
Thanos, dude.
Yeah, I don't know, but
don't give him the Infinity Gems.
Yeah,
Jesus.
So that's one of the theories. The second theory is trying to impose a one-world government, which we already kind of talked about. I mean, if you were to ask me, like a one world currency and government, it seems like in this day and age almost seems like a good idea. Not necessarily a government, but like, you know, like we're pretty much a one world economy now, but finance across borders is so complicated. It's fucking insane. Yeah. Like all that type of all the currency exchanges and all this crazy stuff that's happening on like an unprecedented scale.
Deficits and like investment and buying.
Countries are loaning.
National debts and things like that. It's just like, when you just look at stuff like trade deficits, like if you go into looking at and things like I just did it over the last couple of weeks, like going to stuff about trade deficits and it's nuts. And it's like, yeah, if your country has a trade deficit, like, oh, like in economics, they teach you like, oh, that's bad. But it's like, no, actually, that's good. If your country has a trade deficit, that means that you're paying money to these other countries, which then will take that money and then reinvest it in your country. So if your trade deficit is high, that means your currency is going to go up. The worth of your currency is going to go up. It's freaking nuts. Like, what?
Right. Another theory of the Bilderberg Group is that in the U.S., it controls the Republican Party.
That's a terrible investment right now.
So that's if you go with that theory, and they didn't want Trump to be president because he was representing Republicans.
The
people who support Trump, or some of them, claim that Trump is like he's fighting the globalists. He's going to bring balance to the world. He's going to, you know, he's doing something good. Like that's the people who support him.
They
really think he's against like this new world order. This globalists who are trying to like just take over the world through corporate means. I don't know.
Well, most of the people sort of they don't like globalization because globalization takes the jobs from the factory workers, and those are the people who voted for Trump. But he gives those companies their tax breaks, and they still ship their factories overseas.
That's what I mean. I've talked about so many times. Every politician who says something they're going to do, when they're done, you look back and like, no, he didn't do fucking any of that. So obviously, they know what to say to get the people to put trust in them. It's like fucking like social manipulation, really, is what they're doing.
I don't think Trump said anything. Oh, God, guys. That guy's a train wreck.
Anyways, this girl, Phyllis Schlafly, published a book in 1964, A Choice, Not an Echo. And that's it. She is pretty much the start of this whole thing, suggesting that it's being controlled by the Bilderberg Group. And she called them secret kingmakers, a.k.a. the rich and powerful. Pretty much is what she's saying. So
yeah, because I don't know about it, a lot of the other ones, but the more high profile ones, like Braden said, like Bill Clinton, like the year before he became president, he went to a Bilderberg meeting, and the same thing with Tony Blair.
Rockefeller sold him on NAFTA, and then he got elected and then signed NAFTA.
They're making big, huge moves. Huge moves at this fucking. If the people who say that it's just for discussion, no.
Yeah, they say they don't lay down policy, but
they don't. They don't write it down.
Yeah, they don't write it down, but it's definitely like that's a. But I mean, how can you? I mean, you can't really blame them. For me, I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Like, let's talk about that later.
It's
like,
fucking genius on their part for devising the secret meeting that was secret for 50 years. No one knew about it.
Yeah.
They even denied it. The mainstream media even denied that the Bilderberg Group exists as early as like 12 years ago or something. And by public pressure, finally they admitted that, oh yes, but then they had to start a website and they had to give, eventually the pressure of like the internet really like made them at least divulge some information of like who goes and what they talk about. And then they pretty much kept it though, that they're not going to say, they're not going to talk about anything. Like you're not going to hear anything about it.
It would make more sense to me that they wouldn't be in favor of a one world government, because then having a one world government, it would be too easy to see where their interests are. Whereas if you control a bunch of other powerful countries and you're kind of like pulling puppet strings, you can kind of, you know what I mean? Like do a little here, do a little there, and like piece your puzzle together. So no one can really see the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's what my thought on. I don't think we'll ever see a one world government. I think we'll
not in our lifetime.
No, I think it's not favorable to the elite to have a one world government.
I don't think you would see one until we got off planet.
Yeah.
I don't think you would become, or until things got so bad, like things would get like really, really bad here. Like when climate change comes that, and like natural disasters or something, and that all comes crashing down. I don't think you would see a one world government.
Because I think that's like what the whole thing with cryptocurrency, right? Was like people trying to break away from that corporate controlled central bank style of banking.
Yeah, I think Bitcoin's lost half of its value.
Well, it's because the original thing of Bitcoin
since last year.
The original thing of Bitcoin was to like break away from
right
from this banking system. But what happened was the banking system hijacked Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they made it so you could invest in Bitcoin with real money, and they just turned Bitcoin into just like almost seems like kind of like a pyramid scheme almost now. The people who have already bought in want more people to buy in because.
Yeah. Well,
what it was supposed to be.
The fact that Bitcoin was based on just it's almost like the dollar or whatever. It's based on the money, the faith that people put in it. So like the more people put into it, the more you get out. But I was reading a couple articles and it was saying that there's evidence to suggest that the Bitcoin like sell-offs, like a lot of those where like they dropped the price and stuff like that, were actually perpetrated by bots. Like there were actually like two like trading bots where it's like they had a certain amount of Bitcoin so they could actually drive the prices of Bitcoin. So they would sell off a bunch and then people would see like they controlled enough to like there would be a visible drop, and then when people saw that, they would start selling their Bitcoin. So the more people that sold their Bitcoins, it just drove the price down, and then those bots would just buy up a little bit more, and then they could just drive the price back up.
Yeah.
There's been a couple
100% I believe there's manipulation like that going on. Like it's crazy.
But then that's the same thing as you could say the same thing about the stock markets. Like
that's what I mean. Know, about
these people control enough, like these people who go to these meetings control enough probably capital to be like, yeah, okay,
they can manipulate the markets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I mean. Like cryptocurrency is supposed to be out of like away from that. It was just because it's like, that's exactly what it is. If people put trust in the currency, that's what currency is now, because there's no backing. So right now everyone trusts that the bank is the currency. Like that's legal tender. That's all we can use. But if like the initial thought of Bitcoin, or at least what maybe it wasn't, but that's what they tell you, is it was to break free from that system so we could just freely trade between ourselves. If we all said we're going to value Bitcoin like this, and we could trade it without any influence of regulation. But then regulation got a hold of it. It became part of the, it pretty much became part of the stock market. And it's pretty much, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but who knows?
Yeah. It might make a comeback, but we'll see.
And,
I've read a couple articles where it's people are still, the mining of Bitcoin still accounts for at least like 1 or 2% of electrical usage, electric utility usage in some countries.
Yeah, we can talk about crypto, like a full cryptocurrency one time. Maybe have an expert on tell us about it.
But that's crazy.
The last theory is, wait for it, reptilians.
Yes.
The Bilderberg Group, at least the controlling members, are part of David Icke's supposed reptilians who have infiltrated our planet. Maybe they're the Anunnaki, or they're some other alien race watching us forever, or maybe even been here forever manipulating us. They are the controllers of this because they've realized that our world is going to a more global society, digital everything, and they are just trying to get ahead and keep their like old school control system going. So that is the final theory. So aliens control Bilderberg meeting to keep humanity enslaved as their debt slaves, pretty much. That's pretty much a conspiracy.
That seems like a really convoluted way to control us. Like if you're from a different planet, like could you just use spaceships? Does that make more sense than having to like manipulate our entire economic and go through all that? Like that for me seems like really convoluted. I just feel like that would be the way like the reptilians are a bunch of malicious intergalactic accountants. Like, is that what they are?
Yeah. Well, that's sadistic. That's one of the
sadistic
biggest
CPAs.
It's one of the biggest theories in the world. the reptilians.
Oh man. That would just be, that would be like the most brutal thing ever. Like they're sitting there like looking at spreadsheets like all day, like, yes, the humans are driving the prices up and soon we will control everything. We'll have to drop in prices of these goods and we will outsource these jobs to India.
We will drop the price of a barrel of oil but still charge them more and they will pay.
We'll drive the oil down so low.
We have them right where we want them.
Oh, God. That's what those meetings actually are.
Yeah. It's where they can all let out their scales. They can all let down their scales.
Take off their skin faces. Take off their human skin faces.
Yeah.
No, if there is reptilians, I'll tell you one thing. They're not shape-shifting back and forth. They've either been born into this world, like fucking Keanu Reeves style in Day That Earth Stood Still, or they're just still reptilians in space looking down at us. Because you can't fucking transform like that. It's fucking impossible.
Wait, I never saw the Keanu Reeves one. I've seen the original one.
Yeah, what about a chameleon?
It just changes color.
Chameleons just change color.
Now if that same...
What about a cuttlefish? Or an mimic octopus?
Maybe.
You're still in the same thing. They change color.
Mimic octopus, they can look like
other things. Mimic octopus can change the texture of their skin. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but they don't. They're still an octopus. They don't change eight arms into two or something like that.
Yeah, but these reptilian men are just changing the texture of their skin.
What about the reptilian claws and facial features and tail and all that other shit?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
have tails?
I don't know. No one fucking knows. Do they have tails? No one knows if they have a tail or not. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't think they have tails. That would just seem like... That's a whole thing that, yeah, the clothing for that would just seem.
You need a sheath for your tail.
Yeah, you got to put a hole in your pants. Like...
A tail sheath.
Nobody wants that.
Let's. Anyone got anything else on the Bill Goldberg committee?
Look it up because it is very strange.
It's wild.
I mean, we know when it happens. We know what they talk about. We know who goes there, but we don't know what is said or discussed or agreed upon. And that's, to me, is just weird. It's just weird that these are not elected people, or like, I guess some of them are, but most of them are industry people, corporations, just controlling the future of the planet with no outside eyes or influence. Just 100 to 150 people a year is talking about the shit with a controlling group that is there for 4 years or more. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it's super weird. If you go down that new world order conspiracy,
actually, you can be comforted that at least one or two articles say that there is a serious lacking of the representatives from the what you would consider the U.S. military industrial complex. So you don't have a lot of the guys from like Boeing and Lockheed actually don't go to these.
That's probably good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That probably takes.
But the Bilderberger is actually not the only one. It's not the only one of these kind of like transatlantic commissions. There's actually like a couple of them. I'm pretty sure.
What's the other one's called?
There's another one that's like the transatlantic trade commission or something like that. Trilateral commission.
Yeah, that's there's another one. That's the states, right?
Mm.
Isn't that the states?
No. You got me.
I'm pretty sure trilateral commission is like the United States foreign policy.
Mm.
But I mean, they could be, you know, with some people from Europe too. I'm not really. You always hear that term, but I don't really know much about it, so can't really give much of a comment.
Mm.
Yeah, look it up. It's fucking crazy. What else we got?
We got some new reviews.
Yes, we do.
New reviews.
New 5-star reviews. I also noticed that you open reviews up to Facebook as well.
I was just going to say that. I had a lot of people complaining that they can't leave reviews on whatever podcast player you're using. And that's fair. I think it's really only iTunes that has a review feature that's like at least accessible and easy to use. So yeah, if you want to leave a review, if you're on Android or using a different podcast app, look us up on Facebook and click on the review tab. And use, oh, what the fuck was that? And leave what a review.
That?
I don't know.
Was that on here?
On my computer. It's a big beep or some shit.
All right, let's get to some new iTunes reviews. 5-star. Love these guys. So glad this podcast made it into my life. Love, love, love it. Listening to them all. Smiley face. Thank you, Anna Marie's Yoga from the US of A. My favorite paranormal podcast. Found you guys by accident and loving every minute. The back and forth about the guy's tattoo, I don't want to give away any spoilers, was amazing. Also, I love it when you guys get drunk. You need to do an episode where you get drunk and or stoned and just get a little wild. 5 stars from Vegas. Black Ron Pond, USA.
Yeah.
Black Ron Pond.
Rock Ron Pond continues his reach, worldwide reach.
I will read one more. An A plus podcast. A is spelled E-H. This is from Orias V from the US of A. My absolute favorite conspiracy theory podcast because they don't take themselves too seriously like so many others. Nope. Real organic humor. And they introduced me to Ron Pond, who I'm pretty sure is the only reason aliens haven't attacked Earth. I hope they cover number stations like UVB 76 soon.
Oh, that's weird one. Yeah, yeah,
that's pretty weird. Yeah. Cool. I'm gonna read one more. The one off Facebook. It's our very first Facebook review.
Woo!
It's from Chris Smith.
Chris Smith.
Chris Smith.
Chris Smith.
And it goes something Christmas? Like. Chris Smith. Chris Smith. No. Okay, it goes something like this. These guys are just some motherfuckers trying to ice skate uphill. This podcast is basically about getting fucked up and talking about some fucked up things which are truly fucked up. It's good because on the Facebook reviews you can swear without any repercussions because it doesn't beep you out.
Oh, that's cool.
Ah.
So if you like fucked up things, then you're gonna like these motherfuckers. Funniest podcast out there. And now I aspire to get meat draw drunk every time I go out.
He should have asked Chris Smith and not Wesley Snipes, because it sounds like Wesley Snipes.
Well, it could be an alias.
Cool. Well, so Zell, who's your prolapser of the week?
Oh, I'm gonna give it to shit. I know what? I actually didn't find one. I forgot to do that. Let me do a quick search here. Who's been fucking talking to us a lot? Let's give it to Zach Ludwig. This guy's been going back.
Zach Ludwig.
Yeah, he's from Louisville, Kentucky. And he's been loving the podcast for a long time, sending us videos. And he's an Xbox fan, and he wants to play some games with us. So he might be waiting a while for that. We don't play often, but we'll be on there, buddy.
All right. Well,
I got some things. I got a couple more things I got to say.
Right, let's hear some things.
AlienTheorist.com is our website. If you go there, there's something called the forums. They're back up. They're live. They've actually been
live. Forums are live.
We tried this a long time ago to do forums, and it fucking just crashed and burned.
Bot City, baby.
Bot City.
Bot City.
We had about 450,000 comments, and they were from not one real human. But now, with this new website, we have forums up, and it's going to be a great way to get in touch with us. I'm going to be on there all the time, and it's just much easier for us to keep track of comments and theories because it's all in one spot. It doesn't just go through a scrolling feed. So if you want to submit a good theory, just go on there. There's a bunch of different categories. You can create your own. That's super easy. And that's pretty much it.
Right on.
T-shirts.
Right on.
tpublic.com. Search for Alien Theorists.
Or go to our website and you can get the link from there.
It's true.
Cool. Get those shirts.
Get those shirts.
Also, send us your designs. We have a t-shirt contest on the go. We haven't decided when it's going to stop, but I've only seen 2 designs.
Yeah, we haven't really been pushing it. So yeah, we're a t-shirt contest. Send them to alientheorists@gmail.com.
Yeah, or Facebook or Instagram.
Goddamn, anywhere.
Anywhere. Dan, anything?
We did get a message, and it was I paid attention to one of the messages from Facebook from Trevin, and Trevin sent us this nice little picture of edited. I think it's edited. It says Elon Musk deletes K-pop.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to state for the record that I would be sad because I do enjoy the occasional K-pop.
Oh, you bite your tongue, Dan.
I enjoy it for the visual.
Visuals? Not so much the visuals.
There are come on. Those girls just like Twice and Girls' Generation, those girls are smoking hot. And I will watch those videos. Huna, I'll watch those videos all day.
Might as well watch porn, Dan.
It's not the same.
You probably watch
the songs are catchy. They're designed that way. And I enjoy them.
I hate
it. If you take it in the cultural context, I went through a K-pop phase like last year for like a good month. And when it got real, real deep into it.
I have to say, Dan, this is the one thing I've only ever strongly disagreed with you on. Is your K-pop obsession.
It's not, it was just a short little thing, but I enjoy it in the cultural context, the cultural context of how it fits in with Korean culture. And I enjoy some K-pop, not all of it. I don't enjoy the boy bands. I like that stuff's weird and they're not as good dancers as like, they won't ever be as good as American. I don't think, but I do enjoy some of the girl K-pop groups. They're fun.
Well, agree to disagree.
My guilty pleasure. which should be a K-pop. I'm going to trademark that before some K-pop group takes that guilty pleasure. I need to do that. I need to write that down.
All right. That's it, I think. Braden?
All right. As we always say at this hour, keep those eyes on the skies. Live long and prolapse, everyone. Thanks for listening. After hours. Can we talk about Alien Con on this?
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be. I was going to say it's going to be not after hours. It'll just fuck it. Let's just talk about Alien Con. I'll put it up before the episode. It'll be pre. This is pre hours.
Pre hours. Oh, dude, I'm so fucking excited.
We're going to Alien Con.
So we should talk about the episode we just did in the past tense.
Yes.
Okay. So we're doing after hours. So you guys will listen to the episode that we just did. Now we're planning.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.